It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning. As you mentioned, only about 2 hours until the ceremony, the dedication ceremony, gets underway. It will be official. The U.S. Embassy will have moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We are here at the ceremony itself. Final tweaks and preparations underway. Off in the distance, I saw the color guard rehearsing. You can take a look and you can see some of the VIPs and dignitaries who've already arrived here. As many as 800 are expected to attend this event. The U.S. delegation includes President Trump's daughter, Ivanka, her husband, Jared Kushner, who's presidential advisor, and the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, along with other dignitaries. They attended a welcoming ceremony last night. It was then that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told the crowd that the decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and the move of the embassy has made the alliance of the U.S. and Israel stronger than ever. The Israeli Prime Minister said this is, quoting him now, a monumentous time. President Trump is making history, and our people will be eternally grateful. Now, although ambassadors from more than 24 countries are going to attend this dedication ceremony, conspicuously absent this morning will be the representatives from Germany, France, and the UK. Those are countries that strongly disagree with President Trump's Mideast policy, specifically in this case, the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital.
That was David Lee Miller this morning on Fox. And of course, this morning here is not this morning in Israel. It's afternoon and they're getting ready for their big ceremony, probably in less than an hour. And so David Lee goes on to explain what's going on. And then I'm going to fill in some blanks, too. Let's listen.
And as you mentioned moments ago, this is also a day of conflict here in the Mideast. While there is great joy in the city of Jerusalem along the Israel-Gaza border, a very different situation at this hour unfolding. We should have some live pictures of the scene there. As you mentioned a moment ago, at least 12 people have been killed in clashes. The Palestinians for the past several months have been holding regular weekly demonstrations there. They will culminate tomorrow on what is called Nakba Day, the day of the what they call the Great Catastrophe, marking the anniversary of Israel's founding. But the embassy relocation today had Hamas calling on Palestinians, Hamas controls Gaza, to come to the border and essentially infiltrate the border fence, cross the fence. The Israeli government has told Palestinians that if they do so, the consequences could be lethal. And lastly today, the Israeli Prime Minister's position on the embassy move is that it is going to move the peace process along. It's a good thing for the peace process, but today, guys, there are still a great many people in this region who think otherwise, and that the event that's going to start here in a little less than 2 hours, some believe, is further going to inflame the region.
Well, yes, I think it will, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, the celebration, because just to underscore that this is the 70th anniversary of Israel's establishment, which is a thing of great joy for Israelis, not so much joy for the Palestinians, who, again, as David just referred to it, call this their catastrophe. And so Hamas is asking people to invade the border and to disrupt the celebration. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has sent flyers, as they often do before they're going to do bombings in the Gaza Strip. They will drop leaflets just to let people know, vacate your building, we're getting ready to bomb. They do that all the time. It is just the most amazing thing. So they have dropped leaflets and they basically say, you deserve a better government. You deserve a better future. Do not approach the security fence nor participate in the Hamas display that is putting you at risk. They're expecting Hamas to use human shields on the line, do anything to disrupt this. So just, you know, we'll all be watching the news to see, you know, who wants to see that. It's just, it's an amazing thing when you put your children up as your children, as decoys, willing to let them be killed in order to advance a political cause. It's pretty amazing stuff. This is the 51st anniversary of what the Israelis would refer to as the unification during the Mideast War. And that means unification of the city of Jerusalem. So it's called Jerusalem Day. It's an amazing thing. It really is. When you think about, listen, I was in Israel when Barack Obama was running for president. And I remember sitting with my Israeli friends in a restaurant trying to tell them that this was really bad news for Israel. And I walked it down, all the things I knew about his relationships with the PLO, et cetera, fill in the blank. And of course, I knew a lot of this because I was in Chicago. I'm from Illinois. I had worked in Alan Key's campaign and had made myself an expert on Barack Obama's record prior to being, you know, a candidate. And they did not believe me. They didn't think I was a liar. They trusted me enough to know that, but they were skeptical. Because at that time, Barack Obama was very popular internationally. It was a wave, remember? The tremendous outpouring of support, and it was no different in Israel. So they have suffered greatly. They did suffer greatly under the presidency of Barack Obama as he undermined them at every point and became very dangerous to them. And so it is a day of celebration. I remember I told you that in December, a friend of mine in Jerusalem sent me a picture of these posters that said, you know, Donald Trump, I forget exactly the wording, but they were praising him and they were on, you know, like every city block in Jerusalem. Well, they're still there and they're up today too. So it's an interesting thing, right? We don't see a lot of that here. So what's happening? Well, the Temple Mount was the site of some clashes on Jerusalem Day, which, you know, I don't know if that's today or if it was yesterday, to be honest with you. The time zone makes it a little confusing. But Jews and Arabs clashed on the Temple Mount. I remember a war breaking out because of clashes on the Temple Mount. For those of you that haven't been there, you just simply go up to the next level above the Wailing Wall where you see people, you know, praying and the Orthodox Jews, you know, bowing quickly and putting little prayer things in the holes of the wall. But up above that, the Temple Mount is the more sacred place. And the amazing thing is this is huge, massive rock. I mean, huge. And the Jews believe that's the rock upon which Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. The Muslims believe that that's the place where Muhammad ascended into heaven and saw vision and all of this. So they both claim it as their holy rock. You know, it's interesting because the Muslims always claim whatever the Jews believe is most holy, the Muslims claim too. It's just a pattern. Wherever there's a church, there's a mosque, right? It's like, I always say it's like Burger King and McDonald's. McDonald's used to do all the research about where the best location for a restaurant was, and then Burger King would just shadow them. And that's kind of what the Muslims have done since they're late to this party. They didn't start till 700 AD, 700 something AD. And so they sort of mimicked what the Jews had already established through their scripture and their couple of thousand years of history. And so there was a clash on the Temple Mound. Also, the IDF destroyed a terror tunnel, which was being built. It was quite a ways along. It was Hamas had been digging it, trying to get into attack Jewish settlements in one of the areas of Israel. And there's a really interesting article by Carolyn Glick, who I just love, by the way. She wrote this in the Jerusalem Post about what she calls Netanyahu's finest hour. It's really an excellent piece, and we'll put this on our Facebook page. But let me just read one little paragraph here. From moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem to walking away from the nuclear deal, which guaranteed Iran's eventual acquisition of nuclear weapons and financed its regional aggression and terrorism sponsorship, to unconditionally supporting Israel's military operations against Iranian positions in Syria, Trump has demonstrated that he is the most pro-Israel president in U.S. history. No other president comes close. And then she goes on to talking about how Bibi Netanyahu has laid the groundwork for this and all the work that he's done. His speech to the American Congress when Barack Obama was in office and his contribution to stopping the horrible policies which would have railroaded and really destroyed Israel's undermined its existence. It's just a great article, and Netanyahu's finest hour, we'll put it on our Facebook page. All right, last week, President Trump was rallying in Indiana, and I want you to hear this just little segment because tomorrow is a primary in Idaho, Nebraska, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. Let's listen first to President Trump.
Never believe that your Second Amendment is not under siege. We believe that a strong nation must have strong borders. We have pride in our history and respect for our great American flag. And we put our large, beautiful hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, right? And we proudly stand, all the time we stand, because we love that sound. We stand for our national anthem at all times. But if we're going to defend our values, we need people in Washington who share our values.
Who share our values. That's what he said to finish that out. And that's the reason I played that, is because that really is what's at stake tomorrow in the primaries. So tomorrow, the prime, because I recognize, you know, every state has a different date. They all have different rules. Different candidates. This is a case where you can't depend on Fox News or some other conservative outlet to tell you what's going on in your state. This is a situation where you have to take personal responsibility. I'm going to help you in every way I can to give you the tools. All I can say is if you're in Idaho, Nebraska, Oregon, or Pennsylvania, heads up. And if you know people in those states, heads up. I want to tell you about two races just because they've come to my attention. But I'm asking you to really take responsibility. Will you do that? And will you share the information that you have with your friends and remind them to get out and vote? I'm telling you, this is the only time real conservatives have a chance to win is in the primaries. And so let me just say, in Idaho, Raul Labrador is running for governor. And Raul Labrador, of course, was a real champion in the House. He stepped aside from his part in the House Freedom Caucus, to run for governor. He's been endorsed by Rick Manning of Americans for Limited Government, and Rick is a real staunch conservative, and he wants us to have a heads up on that. In Pennsylvania, really interesting race, and actually a very important one. Let me give you this update. Scott Wagner is the leader in this race for governor in Pennsylvania. Now here's the twist. His opponent is Paul Mango. Scott Wagner, according to Michael Greer, who's the president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute, is advertising that the Pennsylvania Family Institute has endorsed him and said that he had a 100% pro-life voting record, and now we're understanding that that's not true. In fact, that Scott Wagner has been behind the scenes taking money from Tom Steyer, the radical LGBT activist, and there's more to say about him. But he's taken money from him and is now pushing a bill which would be like a bathroom bill, the bathroom bill in North Carolina. Behind the scenes, Scott Wagner is denying that this bill will open bathrooms to all genders, but others, I don't have time to get into the weeds of who said what, but others are saying that's absolutely not true. He's being dishonest about that. He is the Republican candidate. He is one of the Republican candidates leading in the polls, and many are saying, including Pennsylvania Family Institute, that he is deceiving people. American Principles Project is saying the same thing. That's the only way he can win. He needs GOP primary voters to either never hear about it or never have enough information to know the truth. That's Scott Wagner, who's leading. And his opponent, Paul Mango, is a staunch conservative. And so people in Pennsylvania are trying to give a heads up on that race. Tomorrow morning, I hope to talk in more detail about these and other races in Idaho, Nebraska, Oregon, and Pennsylvania, but start now, will you, to try to check into the sources that you trust in your own state, and Google whatever you have to do and find out who the true conservatives are. All right, I have to take a break. Well, when we come back, Congressman Dave Brett will join me because there's an imminent dangerous bill passing through the House. Stay tuned.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared. And the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works. And it's so easy to get your questions answered too. So why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Here on American Family Radio, this is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When you feel anxious about the future, when you want to quiet your fears, where does your heart turn for comfort? Thousands of years ago, the nation of Israel was afraid, and for good reason. They had enemies on every side. But they were placing their trust in their own devices and the alliances they had made. And God rebuked them through the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 30, verse 15, God tells them, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." God wanted them to trust Him. And for Christians today, it's the same. We need daily time before God to hear Him speaking through His Word and filling us with strength. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. In print monthly, visit getanchor.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TMU. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TMU. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The New Yorker made some downright scurrilous accusations against Chick-fil-A the other day, documenting what they call the fast food chain's creepy infiltration of the Big Apple, suspecting there might be some sort of nefarious plot afoot to evangelize the city by tempting the masses with fried chicken and sweet tea. Well, America, the time has come for you to know the truth. The jig is up. We've been caught red-handed. A covert team of Southern Christians, along with a herd of grammatically challenged cows, infiltrated the Mason-Dixon line last year. Our mission, to convert the Yankee heathen with delicious chicken sandwiches. And our plan would have worked had it not been for those meddling members of the mainstream media. We even managed to teach the people from the Bronx how to say "my pleasure." That is the power of the gospel bird. But let not your heart be troubled, America, because the war of poultry aggression rages on. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I started noticing some issues with him maybe in middle school. The stealing started out small, a few dollars here and there. Not from me, oddly enough, but from less fortunate kids. He was never afraid to talk with girls. But things never really worked out for some reason. I worried when he went to college. But he came home often. I guess he never really learned to do his own laundry. It wasn't until I met his college buddies that I realized it might be too late. Only a mother can catch the signs early. This Mother's Day, talk to your child about the GOP. I wish I had.
Sandy Rios back with you. That's a very, very strange ad put out by Next Gen America. Who are they? It's a political advocacy group sponsored and is supported by billionaire Tom Steyer, who has decided to dedicate $30 million into races to boost to boost Democrats in 24 Republican-held districts and swing states. Tom Steyer is an LGBT activist. He's an environmental activist and other things. And we're going to put that actually ad on our Facebook page because you actually have to see it to get the impact of it. It's just amazing, but you get the drift of it. So Tom Steyer is targeting all kinds of Republicans. The primary is tomorrow in four states, Idaho, Nebraska, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. But it's coming to a state near you. It's coming to your state, too. If please, heads up on this. You have to take active measures to inform yourselves and go out and vote and get your friends. This is your responsibility. I'm just saying there are too many races, too many people running for those of us in media to cover all of it. You have to take some responsibility. So I'm really asking you to do that. Our next guest certainly has his own primary coming up. Congressman Dave Brat splashed into the scene when he did a surprising upset to Eric Cantor, who was the majority leader in the House of Representatives. And he was a champion on immigration, and not in a good way. Wanted open borders, wanted amnesty, and it was just shocking when Dave Brat came in, swept in, and took that seat. And since that time in the 7th District in Virginia, Congressman Brat has been a real champion for the people down there. But now he's facing kind of a shift in the ground, shall we say, about what's happening. Congressman Brat, thanks for joining us. And before we get into what's happening on Capitol Hill, what's happening in your race?
Yeah, well, thanks, Sandy. I mean, the Democrats, like you just said, are just raising billions and billions of dollars and just planting and picking candidates and then funding them with small-dollar donors that are all bundled by the left across the country. And so I was just at a small business group meeting this morning. I got a kick out of that because the left says, you know, you shouldn't have business donations or anything like that. And look where all their money is coming from. It's all coming from billionaires, right? Soros, Steyer, you just said, and you just rattle them off one after the other. So we have a great message to run on right now, right, for the economy, with the foreign policy, with Korea, et cetera. But the Democrats, their usual strategy is just to separate the American people. Put everyone in different buckets, and the personal destruction comes out. And so all the Republicans across the country, thank you for saying that. They need your support, and financially, go out and help. If you can help me out again, I will need that because I run against the swamp, and so I need the people to bail me out when it comes to getting reelected. And so my email, my website's just davebrat.com if anyone wants to see my positions and what I'm running on. Across the country, I could use the help.
Just to make sure I got this right, you know, Congressman, honestly, it really is difficult because you know how many seats are up and everything's complicated. But is your likely opponent, is it Abigail Spanberger?
I have a few. They're going to have a primary coming up on June 10th.
Okay.
And so we'll see who wins. And then we got to get ready to go. But the whoever it is, like across the country, they're going to have the full Democrat machine going full force.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about something that's really, really, really in your bailiwick. And this issue is the reason that you did that incredible upset of Eric Cantor in the 7th District. And now there's a move in Congress. I think as we see Congress doing precious little, both houses, accomplishing precious little, between Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, I've just never seen anything quite like it. Two men who want to do less. But in the House, it's come to my attention that there is a procedure that's being introduced, and it's not getting very much coverage. But it's a combination of what's called the Queen of the Hill and the discharge petition, and I'm going to turn it over to you to explain what in the world's going on here.
Yeah, no, you set it up just right. So there's a technical thing you can do. It's called a discharge petition, where 25 Republicans can take control of the entire body, leapfrog over leadership, and they're going to gang up with 200 Democrats. That's the troubling part, right? Some of us don't always agree with leadership or whatever, but we're all Republicans, so we all run on the Republican creed. But this is the opposite of that. This is 25 Republicans going across to get 200 Democrats. And so they set up a Trojan horse to sneak in four bills, and they say whichever bill gets the most votes wins. And so they know, and Politico, by the way, right, they get all this. They have totally misled their readers and voters. Go read the Politico summary on this, et cetera. And they say the intent of this is to get the Goodlatte bill a vote. And the Goodlatte bill is good policy. It's got E-Verify and end-to-chain migration, border security, the wall, deals with visa overstays. All the good stuff is in the Goodlatte bill. But this group knows that bill doesn't have the votes to pass yet because leadership hasn't whipped that hard enough. And Paul Ryan promised that he would bring that bill to the floor. And he's holding true so far. He said out in public that he will not, he doesn't like this show pony. But the discharge petition can leapfrog over Paul Ryan, and that's the problem. And so the likely outcome is that we end up passing just a full DREAM Act, which is about 3.6 million Dreamers instead of the 700,000 DACA, right, the kids in the shadows. This does 3.6 million. And then if you include chain migration, right, they can bring in extended family, et cetera, over a decade, you're talking about 10 million folks. Not vetted by us, the Republicans who are in charge. And boy, if you want to throw total chaos on the scene before the election cycle, this is just the absolute worst policy that the Republicans can tolerate, right? We need to say absolutely no to this group and this bill and say that out in public so everyone hears loud and clear. And it's fascinating. You can tell that the Democrats are in trouble on this issue because they won't bring it up, right? They don't mention anything about it because the American people are fairly clear when it comes to illegal immigration and sanctuary cities and et cetera.
You know, Congressman, let me just mention, people might wonder why now, why are they doing this and who is doing it? Let me just mention a few names. Jeff Denham and Carlos Curbelo of Florida, Jeff Denham from California, both Republicans, are leading the charge on this. But, of course, they're not alone. I think there's 17 signatures, right? And they need seven more, something like that. There was a letter from what's called the Coalition for the American Dream, signed by, I think, 100 business leaders. Top business leaders support latest effort to protect dreamers. So this letter goes out. And then there's also a PAC that's owned and operated by Mark Zuckerberg, who's pressuring, who's represented by investors in Silicon Valley. And they're pushing for this. So that's why business interests are wanting this. Now, you may disagree with this, Congressman, but I'm just telling you, my friends are telling me that Paul Ryan is not fighting this, that he's not calling out these Republican members that are pushing it. He's not threatening any kind of punishment for them, even though it probably is very dangerous in a primary year to be doing this. And that because in the past he has sort of played a double game on his interest at pretending one thing while actually pushing another, there isn't a lot of trust on his leadership on this issue, since we know that he is a Luis Gutierrez Democrat on issues of border and amnesty and DACA. So I'm just saying to you, a lot of us don't have trust that he's actually not behind this ultimately. But practically speaking, do you feel comfortable naming who the other Republicans are? Because I don't have it listed here.
Well, there's a good summary. If people want to just go Google, there's a good piece by the Daily Signal today. Rachel Delgudis wrote a piece on that. And then the Wall Street Journal wrote a piece defending this. And so Paul Ryan has come out and said he doesn't like the show pony aspect of this. But when they whip stuff, if anyone else got near doing anything like this, right, they'd lose their committee, their chairmanship,
exactly,
their campaign money, everything.
Exactly.
I mean, this,
exactly,
this is not a little bit of rebellion. This is leapfrogging leadership and going with the Democrats and putting the whole conference in jeopardy before the election. And you listed out perfectly what's going on, right? It's cheap labor in the face of the average American worker, right, the forgotten men and women. And that was decided in the election, not just by Trump, but Bernie through Trump, right, before the Democrats rigged the election and threw Bernie under the bus. Bernie was winning on putting workers first, right? And then Hillary won, and she went back to, you know, diversity politics and that, you know, more leftist strategy. So Bernie through Trump were respecting the will of the American worker, trying to help the blue-collar worker, wages go up. And now you've got all the big money again, right? And you just rattle it off. And that's the debate in this country. The elites are trying to hijack money and power away from the American people. And the American people are sick of it. And so that's, please support those members. I'm going to need some support going forward. There's a lot of people who are fighting the fight the right way. And then you don't get help from the swamp. And so we need your help out there. So please fight on this issue and help the candidates who are fighting for you.
Yeah, and you can't. You know, the problem is, you know, you can't really trust them at their word. That's the other thing, Congressman. You know, we've got a situation I just mentioned before you joined me of a candidate in the Pennsylvania governor's race who is running. First, he's the Republican candidate. He's in the lead, and he's claiming that he is against like opening bathrooms to. This is another issue, but opening bathrooms to all genders. And yet that's a lie. The bill he's supporting does that. And he's taking money from Tom Steyer. So there's so much deceit going on that people have trouble trying to figure out locally, certainly, what candidates to support and who not to. Is there a litmus test? Is there a thing that you would say what to ask or what to look for so that they can know where people stand on this?
Yeah. I mean, you just go look. You know, Heritage takes our voting record into account and gives us a score. The Conservative Union, the Conservative Review with Levin and Horowitz and all them give you points and scores. There's plenty of ways to go check out existing. Folks that are newer are harder to do that. And so you've got to just go check on their reputation over time, either in business or in their, you know, in what they've done in the past, and get to know who they are. And that's a tougher program.
All right, so let's come back to this Queen of the Hill process and this discharge petition. If they get seven more Republicans, that's going to force it to the floor, and it's going to have a vote, and they'll pick the best one. And as we both know, the Democrats join them. It's going to be the terrible bill that we're talking about. So it passes,
right.
Let's say it passes the House. What will it have a chance in the Senate, you think?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the Senate this year, right? I mean, they failed to repeal Obamacare. They just put together the biggest spending bill ever for the swamp. And so the Senate, I don't know. I would like to think there would be a check there, but I haven't seen it lately on conservative issues. And so then it goes to President Trump, and then all the money's there on the veto, right? So hopefully President Trump's laid out four markers, right? Chain migration, and the border wall and border security, et cetera, and then the DACA deal with it, right? We already did the compromise bill with the Democrats. The Democrats said, help us with DACA, and we did, and they said no. Then President Trump goes out and offers 2 million, not just 700,000, but 2 million, and the Democrats say no. And so hopefully President Trump stays strong on this and vetoes it if it goes through, and Paul Ryan is hinting that he will veto it, but I don't want to wait till then. I don't want to wait till before an election to have to sort out that issue. We need to stop it right now.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, it will be such bad PR for Republicans in general with the 2018 election coming on, because it's going to help Democrats either way. You know, if they pass this bill in the House, it's going to help them either way. It's just, it's amazingly stupid. I'm sorry, but. Anyway, anything else? We got 1 minute left that you would like to communicate in 1 minute.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I'll just part of the issue is some of the folks say, hey, business is having a hard time finding skilled labor, et cetera. That's true. You go around the district. But I was with 700 evangelical preachers, pastors, rabbis, everybody last week, and they got thousands of people that can't find work. And we still have 10 million people that are out of the labor force without work, right? So there's plenty of people who need jobs, and I wish the faith community would really help sink in, right? That those the groups of people who need work with the business community who is looking for work right now, like crazy. There's a perfect marriage to be made right there, and I think the faith community can weigh in very fruitfully there. And that's tied to all sorts of other issues. The faith community knows better than anything else, right? The family breakdown, the opioid problem, human trafficking, depression, suicide. It all comes. And the root cause is linked to this breakdown in the family.
Yes.
And getting people into the labor market is the solution.
Yeah, that's a great point, and it will be passed on. Congressman Dave Brat, 7th District of Virginia, a real champion for us in the House right now. Thank you, Congressman Brat. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. While announcing the U.S. withdrawal from the JCPOA, commonly known as the Iran deal, President Trump correctly explained the Iranian regime is the leading state sponsor of terror. It exports dangerous missiles, fuels conflicts across the Middle East, and supports terrorist proxies and militias such as Hezbollah, Hamas, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda. Iran's military budget exploded by almost 40%, and the mullahs used the new money to build its nuclear-capable missiles. Thankfully, President Trump has withdrawn the U.S. from the deal.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios. This year's annual AFA retreat will be held at the beautiful Big Cedar Lodge near Branson, Missouri. I'm happy to be a part of it along with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Ed Vitagliano, and our worship leader, Dennis Jernigan. And I hope to see you there too, along with other supporters of the American Family Association.
Join us for the AFA retreat October 8th through the 11th. For more information or to register, visit afafoundation.net.
In the Bible, the Christian community is called the body. It's an image that helps us understand God's plan for each member of his family. This week, we're learning how people from diverse backgrounds can work together as one. Be sure to listen every day this week to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Did you ever sit down to watch TV with your family, only to turn it off because of bad language? TV Guardian is technology that mutes foul language in real time while you're watching television. TV Guardian was born out of the desire to watch a movie with the family without exposing children or adults to coarse or foul language existing in most of today's entertainment. The closed caption feature within all programming is used to look ahead, detect the offensive words, and mute them. Using simple level filters and subfilters, TV Guardian can be used to filter content for your family. Religious references in mainstream programming are often offensive, using God's name in cursing. So TV Guardian offers filtering for those as well. More information is available at tvguardian.com/dish. tvguardian.com/dish.
American Family Radio is grateful for the support of TV Guardian.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hallelujah! President Trump has fulfilled his campaign promise to move the U.S. Embassy to the capital of the State of Israel, Jerusalem. He's thereby distinguished himself from his three predecessors who campaigned on the same promise but once in office reneged. Mr. Trump has not only brought U.S. policy into alignment with the practice worldwide of locating our embassies in the host nation's capital, he's also called the bluff of Palestinians and others who warned of dire consequences if that were done in Jerusalem. Middle East expert Daniel Pipes has long argued that the Palestinians must come to terms with the reality of their defeat at Israel's hands if there is to be a real peace between the two parties to the Mideast's most intractable conflict. The embassy move should therefore be seen as an inducement, not an impediment, to such a reconciliation. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Hey, you know, I just, while Congressman Brett was talking, we looked up this Daily Signal piece that just came out, and it does list the congressmen that are signed, the Republicans who are signing onto this discharge petition to pass this really bad amnesty bill and to legalize President Obama's illegal DACA plan. And it is Carlos Curbelo, Republican, Florida; Jeff Denham, these are all Republicans; California; David Valadao, California; Will Hurd, in Texas; Mario Diaz-Balart, Florida, Mario, Florida. Mia Love, Utah. And there is an election tomorrow in Utah, isn't there? That's one of the states. It's Idaho. Sorry, not yet. Ileana Rose Letnin, Florida. Charlie Dent, Pennsylvania. Fred Upton in Michigan. David Reichhardt in Washington. Mike Kaufman, Colorado. Chris Collins in New York. John Fazzo, New York. Mark Armadol, Nevada. No, it's Amodei. Elise Stefanik in New York. Leonard Lance, New Jersey. Ryan Costello, Pennsylvania. Stephen Knight, California. And Diana DeJet in Colorado. We will put that Daily Signal article on our Facebook page so that you can look for yourself, because I recognize it's hard to catch it when I'm reading it like that. But that gives you an idea, and it tells you again why it's so important that you clue in to these issues to your local candidates. I realize it's hard. You have busy lives, but I know that those of you listening to this show understand why it's important, don't you? This is a year when you probably really do need to do your homework and also spread the word. You know, I was on a shuttle, an airport shuttle, just a few days ago, and the driver, this is not about candidates, but the driver, who was an African immigrant, which is typical in Washington, D.C., that's typical, and we were pulling up to Reagan Airport, and there was a whole group of motorcyclists along the side. It was police week. It is police week in D.C. this week, and the driver said, he was making a joke. You know, President Trump is here. And then he said, oh, but he's not welcome here. And, I was on a shuttle with other people, and I just spoke up and said, oh, yes, he is. He's very welcome here. And so when I got off the shuttle, I tipped him, and I said, I'm giving you this in spite of the fact that you just criticized our president. So my point in telling you this is, speak up. Will you speak up? I want to do that myself. I don't mean you have to ridicule, lambast, get in arguments, but you can speak up. You can say no. I've had to do this a lot of times. I have to say, actually, I really do I believe what he stands for. I believe in what he's doing. I'm sorry, I don't have a problem with him. It really does turn them back on their heel, because most people are just repeating sound bites. Really and truly, they can't even defend their position. So I'm encouraging you to be bold. Will you do that? You don't have to even defend the president himself if you have trepidation about that, but you can certainly defend the policies. So and speaking of the president doing some really fine things, you might remember that when the president was tweeting, calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man, remember this, and was having this like very public kind of back and forth with the president of North Korea, national security so-called experts said things like this. Let's listen.
There is a coming war, most likely. Richard Haass, I think you'd agree. It is more likely than not that there is a conflict, possibly a full-blown war, with an emerging nuclear power.
We're actually closer, in my view, to a nuclear war with North Korea and in that region than we've ever been. And I just don't see I don't see the opportunities to solve this diplomatically at this particular point.
So, that we're probably closer to an outright war with North Korea than we have been in a very, very long time.
And I think there's about a 20% chance that we'll end up exchanging ordnance with North Korea at some point in a fairly significant way. About a 30% chance of war, I'd say, from where I sit right now. Probably not that far off.
I'm really worried about a accidental move toward conflict, given the overall refusal to comply with the Security Council, and the lack of trust, the lack of communication, the high risk of some kind of miscalculation.
I say fears, don't flinch. I mean, you have reason to be scared of a war that could wipe out 500,000 people.
No, I just think he wants to use nukes. That's what I think he feels.
Well, they could easily construe what he's been saying as a declaration, or at least a threat of war. What is the fuse? What is the ignition point for Kim Jong-un's fuse with this provocative rhetoric?
We should be concerned, and I think that we should be concerned that this escalatory rhetoric between
the leaders of two countries that have nuclear weapons is slipping very quickly into something that could become very dangerous.
Okay,
for
you know, you
the
get
planet.
The idea, right? There's a bunch of them, and they go on and on. One of those voices you might recognize was former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, who was right along with John Brennan, the planners of the deep state. Yeah. So then you heard Joe Scarborough, you heard Mika Brzezinski, his fiance, girlfriend. We had former journalist Dan Rather, and on and on. It's going to be a disaster. War is inevitable. And of course, I'm sure, you know, they're really happy that they were wrong, right? Well, not quite. Not quite happy. In fact, when the hostages were released just last week, it was just amazing the kinds of things that were said. Jim Acosta, CNN, went into a spin mode. They said, basically, there, Will Ripley said, I do worry that these hostages are being exploited. NBC's White House correspondent Hallie Jackson kept going on about how the event was very carefully choreographed. You had floodlights lighting up this 30 by 50 foot American flag hanging in between two ladder trucks as the plane carrying these men rolled in, she said. And of course, on and on. So they were not happy about that. In fact, this is a montage of other things they said. Let's listen.
Breaking news overnight. The three men formerly detained in North Korea have returned to the continental United States. President Trump on hand to greet them, saying that Kim Jong-un was, quote, nice to let them go before the planned meeting between the two leaders. Was Kim nice to imprison them in the first place? We're going to have full analysis of that also this morning.
When I hear Donald Trump talking about Kim Jong-un in terms of nice, saying he's nice, first of all, who do you call nice who's kidnapped three Americans?
The president celebrating the return of these hostages. He's clearly very keen to get a win out of this. Would you be concerned that he might go into the negotiations with too much desire to get a win, and paradoxically, that might kind of box him into a corner?
Okay, so that was Catty Kay. Yeah, BBC journalist Catty Kay, and you heard Joe Scarborough. I was listening to MSNBC the morning after the hostages were released because I wanted to hear what they were saying, and I couldn't believe every single story. Maybe some of you know this. Every single story was about Donald Trump. Someone in his administration said this, and they report it, and then there's a panel. Oh, how could they say that? How horrible. This is just illustrative of what's going on in that administration. Donald Trump, the hostages are released. Yeah, but he used it as a PR tool. He's silly. He's still calling Kim good, you know, on and on and on. It's just, and I thought to myself, you know, even if I hated Donald Trump, I think at some point I would say to myself, this might be a little too much. It's like, you know, when girls gossip and they don't like another girl and they go on and did you see what she had on? And did she? This is what this reminds me of. It's like it really is. In fact, I think the Onion captured it beautifully. They did a report and it's titled CNN Report, Evil Trump Kidnaps Three People from North Korean Paradise. An exclusive new CNN report revealed Thursday that President Trump has kidnapped three people from the paradise in North Korea, forcing them to get on a plane and return to the United States against their wishes. A teary-eyed CNN anchor broke the story, visibly enraged at the egregious act of international terrorism. CNN reporters have discovered that the three visitors had been in North Korea enjoying a vacation for many months before Trump unilaterally decided to have them forcibly flown back to America, even aggressively accosting them when they landed. So that's the report from The Onion, but there isn't a whole lot of difference, it seems to me, from The Onion. We'll put that on our Facebook page, too, because it's just fun. The Onion and the way CNN and MSNBC and others are reporting it. And then I wanted to bring you into this because I told you last week, I speculated that I thought that these three gentlemen might be Christians. And I told you why, because when I was in North Korea, it was American Koreans, businessmen, often spending thousands of dollars, many of them, you know, having apartments on the border of northern Manchuria, trying to help people that were North Koreans escaping across the Tumon River. And now some of them have even gone in country. And these three had done that, which is very, very dangerous. And here's what is being reported. North Korea's three American hostages are all Christians. When the three men boarded Pompeo's plane, they handed him this note, Psalm 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Is that not beautiful? Why didn't we hear that on television? Why couldn't that have been reported? That is just the most beautiful thing. Let me just say that they were in brutal prisons, which I told you the prison camps in North Korea are probably the worst on the planet, maybe the worst ever. Tony Kim has been in there since April 2017. He was teaching at a university in North Korea, funded largely by evangelical Christians from the United States and China. Kim Hak-sung described himself as a Christian missionary who intended to start an experimental farm at PUST, which is a university that teaches the children of North Korea's elite. It was founded in 2010 by a Korean-American Christian entrepreneur. Kim Hak-sung was accused of hostile acts in May of 2017. Kim Dong-chui is a Christian pastor who worked in China and the United States. A North Korean defector, Mae Yong-ae, told Reuters that she had met Kim in the United States and he had told church gatherings he was a missionary helping North Koreans. Open Doors ranked North Korea number one on this year's World Watch list of Christian persecution. And in its report, Open Doors says Christians are seen as hostile elements in society which have to be eradicated. Due to the constant indoctrination permeating the whole country, neighbors and even family members are highly watchful and report anything suspicious to authorities. And so that those three men united now with their families, and some after some most two of them for more than a year, and the other one has been in there for what, 3 or 4 years. It's just an amazing story, and I'm so moved. I was so moved when I was there, and meeting with the Koreans, American Koreans. It was into their one of their apartments. It's hard to explain this, so I try. I was in North Korea on 9/11, as you've heard me describe. We were there for more than 24 hours, but it was 24 hours before we came back over the Tumon Bridge, back into northern Manchuria, went into a restaurant, and where the owner of the restaurant asked us if we knew what had happened with the bombing at the World Trade Center, the plane that went down in Pennsylvania. We thought he was out of his mind. I remember turning to someone and saying, "Is this man crazy?" One of our host was from New York City. He called his wife on a satellite phone and she confirmed what had happened. And we took our food. We couldn't eat. We just couldn't eat. And we wrapped it up and were hurried to a very dark apartment building where we climbed the stairs in the dark to the top floor where a Korean American couple had an apartment. And we went into their apartment and sat on the floor and watched the bodies fall out of the building. I will never forget that as long as I live, of course, rocking on my knees, crying for our country, begging God for mercy, thinking we were going to go into a world war. But the point of that story for today is these were Korean Americans who had sacrificed so much, paying thousands of dollars. They were in business in the States to try to help the people of North Korea. That's what God does in people's lives. You know, he produces the same fruit in people everywhere, red, yellow, black, and white. They don't change who they are, their native dress, unless it's indecent. They are still culturally who they are, but Jesus Christ changes and transforms lives and gives them the same power of the Holy Spirit and causes them to do incredible things. We have every reason to be proud of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Korea who've done this very heroic thing, and these three men who are back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.